Just 2 weeks ago, the acting head of the Secret Service removed four longtime executives. That brought the number of assistant directors sacked or demoted to six. The move follows a series of embarrassing incidents of agent misconduct and ineptitude, culminating in the resignation of Director Julia Pearson. So how does an agency with such a proud history get into this situation? Sherry Cannon is a federal employment attorney with the law firm Tully Rinke. She joins me now with some insight. Sherry, good morning. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning.
All right, let's talk about agency culture. I mean, is this what happens when people stay in one agency for a whole career and end up, say, as senior executives or senior managers in place?
Yes, I think that's a large part of the problem at the Secret Service and some other government agencies or entities across the government. What happens is when you have a culture, they have a terrific mission and people really want to serve and go there. So young people join the Secret Service like many other organizations in order to help the mission and to serve the public and end up spending their entire careers there, including a senior executive. And I read somewhere where these four individuals that were just removed had combined 120 years of service to the Secret Service. What that breeds, unfortunately, while you have a great deal of stability, it also breeds, for lack of a better word, a failed culture of failure to want to innovate. There's no desire for change. There's no desire to do things new. They don't want to look at anything new. And it breeds a culture of for lack of a better word, cronyism, where they develop their own power bases, fiefdoms, et cetera, and they hire people like themselves who will do what they like, and it does not breed, in any instance, diversity of thought or diversity in the pool of candidates coming up below them.
Now, these four people that were let go by Clancy, they weren't really fired. They were just moved out of the leadership positions, I think even offered lower-level jobs at the Secret Service. Is that sufficient to shake things up, do you think?
Well, it's rare that that happens anywhere across the government. So for these purposes and this situation, I think it's absolutely sufficient. In order to fire a government employee, as you know, you have to have more than just a long-time situation of mismanagement or ignorance or just simply negligence at the wheel. You need something more than that. But in this case, there clearly was sufficient evidence to indicate these people's time was up in these jobs. And simply by telling them, you know, here, you're going to go do something else or you're going to retire, sends a signal to those executives, but the remaining executives, as well as the rank and file, that it's not business as usual at the Secret Service. And because it is so unusual of a move in any government agency, especially one as old and as storied as the Secret Service, it does send a signal that things are not going to be the same going forward.
Now, sometimes when people are removed, like in the case of the General Services Administration, that were close to that scandal involved a number of years ago involving that conference on which the agency overspent, those people sued and got their jobs back eventually. And so as a top manager, or even if you're one who's let go, how do you know when you really want to go back?
That's a good question. If I were these four individuals, and of course I'm not in their shoes, but if I were in their shoes, I think I would see this as a signal that, you know, maybe I ought to go do something else. I'm young enough to do that, or I'm young enough to retire and take advantage of that. With the GSA, what the GSA did there, they unfortunately, and I can't say that's what's going on in the Secret Service, unfortunately, because that was such a politicized situation, the agency took action to oust senior executives who really had no connection with the underlying misconduct. And the Merit Systems Protection Board said, you can't do that. It's similar to the situation with the VA, a senior executive out in Phoenix who was found, for lack of a better word, not guilty of creating the waitlist scandal in Phoenix because the agency itself couldn't tie her to the actual misconduct at issue. Here with the Secret Service, you might have a little bit of a different twist on it. These four individuals have led the organization for so long and have allowed a culture to develop of kind of what anything goes with the agents and have not disciplined or otherwise corrected agents on an equal basis, so that I think that there might have been a great deal more evidence than, of course, the public is being told of the let's call it mismanagement, malfeasance, and negligence that they may have been engaged in.
Now, at the Secret Service, the thing that's not stated as often is that Clancy, who is the acting director, is a longtime person and probably knows all of those people that he moved out pretty well. And so is he the right, I mean, how much change can happen under someone like that?
Yes, that criticism may be well-founded in this case, and it may not be. Oftentimes, what you really need in this case, I'm hoping when they do find a permanent director for that job, that they find somebody from outside the organization who's a known change agent. Oftentimes, when you have these kinds of scandals, and it's a very small community of officers in the Secret Service and in the actual enforcement community in Washington, everybody has come up together. Everybody does know each other. And you can't really avoid that situation. And it does lead to the perception, at least, that nothing will change unless something is done. Now, to his credit, he has already taken action that was unprecedented in the Secret Service. I think in the long run, you are correct, however, and they will need to go outside the organization to find an executive to lead that wants to change, that has a history of innovation, and has a history of shaking things up, because that's really what is needed.
We're speaking with Sherry Cannon. She's a federal employment attorney at the law firm Tully Rinke. And so what type of, where do you look for people like that? Should they come from elsewhere in the federal government, another senior executive service member, which in the reforms that the president has, not really reforms, but in the true up of how the SES should work, that's the idea, is moving people around to fix things. Or should that person really come from totally outside, like a Bob McDonald, that was moved into the VA?
Well, those are the only two places you can really look. Each have its own merits and each have its own cons, if you will. Finding a senior executive from inside the government, there are a lot of great senior executives all over the government. But you really, in this case, need somebody that's familiar with the law enforcement mission. So you should be looking, if you are looking inside the government, at those who have familiarity with in the long term with the law enforcement mission, who are good managers and who can improve morale and have a history of improving morale in the rank and file. You want the similar characteristics for somebody outside the government, but you would probably be looking in communities such as police forces with high-profile police chiefs, such as the one in Washington, D.C. and elsewhere. You need to look for somebody who wants to change, who is eager to be in these positions. It is very hard to go outside, for instance, in the Secret Service community, it is very hard to go outside the law enforcement community to find somebody, because they will not be well accepted by people in that mission. And I think that's true all over the government. It is the idea of the SES was created by the Civil Service Reform Act, and the idea initially was that SESs would move about the government. What has happened is that has not happened. Certain people do have a history of moving about the government and doing different things for different agencies, which is great and should be encouraged, but it's not. It has never been required. And I think that it's time for that to be looked at. It's very difficult to force people to move from agency to agency. But in the same breath, you do have various agencies that have very similar missions and cultures, the Secret Service being in the law enforcement community for one instance, or the administrations, organizations that serve the public in healthcare or in social services. Within those clusters of organizations, you ought to be able to find SESs who want to be mobile and who want to serve in different capacities. I think if that would be possible here, I think that would be a great solution to this problem at the Secret Service as well as all over the government.
Now, at the Secret Service, even though it was the leadership that was sacked, because that's what you have to do, many of the incidents that led to the departure of Julia Pearson and then all the rest of them were really happened at the lower levels. You know, the agents misbehaving on foreign trips and the White House crew on the grounds where someone jumped over the fence and ran almost upstairs and this kind of thing. These were commissions of the lower ranking, or rank and file, I should say. And so someone that comes in has to make sure that the changes get down to that level. Maybe it's training, maybe it's replacing some agents, whatever it might be, but at the same time gaining their confidence. And that's a pretty tall order, isn't it?
It's an extremely tall order. The problem there in the Secret Service, and I guess it does go back to the leadership, is these kinds of abuses apparently were well known, and if not encouraged, because I don't believe any leader would encourage their officers to misbehave, they were ignored. And so the Secret Service agents that our firm has talked to really do believe that the culture of the organization and the morale problems at the organization do flow from the top. And it will be a very tall order for somebody new to come in and sell the thinking that I'm here to rise up all boats. I'm here to help all of you, but those of you who get out of line will be held accountable. That is very hard to do in an organization that has over time seen good agents leave to go to other organizations because they're not getting a fair shake or because their brethren are not getting in trouble for the unfortunate incidences that they engage in. So yes, it's a tall order, but I think that's why it's needed somebody from the outside, but somebody who is, of course, steeped in a law enforcement background.
All right, we'll have to see who they appoint. Sherry Cannon is a federal employment attorney and partner at the law firm Tully Rinke. Thanks so much for joining me.
Oh, thank you.